Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, brother. I mean, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Assalamu alaikum.
I hear you.
Oh, okay.
We got
okay, so since I won't, maybe it's nobody on but you and I was going to play the theme song, but since it was 7:07, you connect it back in. So you want to lead us off with doing El Fatiha, or should I? Do you want me to play the theme song so someone comes on, somebody else comes on?
A theme song like what? What kind of theme song?
Well, you know, it usually plays Message of Concern, Wali Ali.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well,
that's what we usually play.
I see. Okay. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. Ishid al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Din al-Alihim, Kayyub al-Maktub al-Alihim, al-Adhadi. Yes, ma'am. All right. I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. There's nobody on but me, then, if you're going to turn it over to me. I got to be talking to myself.
Yeah, well, you know, people be listening on the Internet.
Oh, they do, and I just don't see them, huh?
You just don't see them. Right.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll go on, dude. They have that capacity to listen on the Internet.
Somebody asked me about that, too. Somebody asked me about that, and I told them I didn't hear about it. They didn't seem to have listened to it on the Internet before. They thought they were online, they said. Okay. So, assalamu alaikum. Yes. So I'll go on. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show. Message of Concern is our number one focus, which is the removal of all images that portray divine from worship. That includes racial images. Including of all images, the removal of all images that portray divine from worship. And our second focus is mainly on today, Tuesdays and Sundays. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The sponsoring with the Claire Muhammad STEM School. S is for science, T is for technology, E is for engineering, M is for math. We also have co-sponsored brother Amin Muhammad from Los Angeles, California. And that focus is removal of that focus would be the psychological effect that that image has on the minds of the world's children. And now we've included another show after this one. Will be coming on 9 o'clock about reparation.
No, assalamu alaikum.
Brother Aimee. Alaykum as-salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah,
alaykum
I was thinking about kind of like, I was thinking about collapsing that show at 6 o'clock. You know, I start these shows and I abandon them. You know, I mean, a lot, forgive me for not being as focused as I can, but I don't know, we might collapse that 6 o'clock show into another time. Maybe they could talk about it, because Brother Shuja, he talks about reparations on messages of concern. But, you know,
yeah.
I've been getting a little feedback, a little flack about reparations in the community. And I know Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia, he talks against it. And, you know, I just feel like I have to be careful bringing in ideas and talking about ideas that Imam Muhammad wasn't really behind, you know. Now, I know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Message to the Black Man, and I think on the back, I just left the Beanpot place. It was on the, I think on the back of Final Call, they may have what the Muslims want, and the Muslims want land, you know, like that statement by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Do you know what I'm talking about? No, about that statement?
Yes, yes.
What,
yes.
Right,
on the back,
okay,
of the paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, on the back of the, I think in the back of Final Call. I gotta double check.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about, though. I know somebody. It's in the paper somewhere.
Yeah. So, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't feeling very strong about talking about reparations, even though, it's, in other words, no, we deserve reparations. We deserve justice, you know, for all we did. But I just didn't feel good about spending all my time talking about it all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, I didn't want to spend a lot of time and every day, even though I think we deserve it, we need it, you know. So, okay, is anybody else in the, anybody else calling? Anybody else in the queue?
Suja or his wife, one, their number is on the last four digits, 3149.
Okay.
3149. The first three digits is 323, so I think this was Suja or Sister Ron. Will we click them in?
Well, if they have their hand up, they ask them if anybody want to comment or if anybody want to comment or make ask questions. Hey, Assalamu Alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. I agree with what you were saying, but I remember a brother. He was talking about that. What we should do is have a committee, get a committee together, you know, and then we could, you know, do all what we have to do to get it, and then sometimes we could come on and give updates, you know, the progress that have been made.
Are you speaking about reparations?
Yes, sir. Yes, speaking about reparation and also make a plan. You always got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. I remember you was asking me once years ago when I was in Los Angeles, how we became, you know, like successful in certain things. You or somebody else, but anyway, what it was that we always had a plan. Always had a plan. We didn't come to the meeting unless we had that plan in front of us, and then we gave a plan to each member that was there. Alhamdulillah.
Mhm. Yeah. You know, this reparations thing it isn't anything immediate. You know what I mean? It's not anything that's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to take time. But it's growing. It is growing, and more people are becoming aware and see the justice in it. You know what I mean? More and more people, especially in the last couple of years since the George Floyd murder, you know, and all these police shootings of unarmed brothers and sisters, you know what I mean? And And, you know, now that we have Juneteenth, you know, Biden is talking about Juneteenth. See, that's acknowledging that we were, you know, I keep saying this, but Brian Stevenson, have you had a chance Daima, have you had a chance to look at videos by Brian Stevenson?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? Oh, okay. You got to do yourself a favor. And you type in Brian Stevenson. And you type in his legacy, you know, his legacy museum and his National Memorial for Peace and Justice. The National Memorial for Peace and Justice is called the Lynching Memorial, the Lynching Museum, where he has chronicled. He has looked up the history, did the research, and something like maybe, 2,000 or 4,000 lynchings from the end of the Civil War up to about 1940, you know, and all those counties and everything, mainly in the South, that had these lynchings. Who was the person they lynched? A little story about the person, you know how the person may have been a father, a family man, a good man, but somehow got on the wrong side of these Caucasians, you know, and they lynched you. You see what I mean? And the one that I see a lot is the one where them two brothers got their shirts all tore off and they hanging from on the side of a tree. And all these camera. Well, if that ain't evil, that's one of the most evil things I've ever seen. You know, all of them looking at the camera. And it must have been 50 of them. You know. So look up Brian Stevenson, the Legacy Museum. The Legacy Museum, he goes in and see, it's entitled, the Legacy Museum is titled From Slavery to Mass Incarceration. You know, how they then switched in the 1970s. It was only about 300,000 people in the penitentiary system in the United States in the 70s, right? Today, it's about 2.3 million people. And, you know, most of them is us, our people, our youngsters. Mm-hmm. Right. So that Legacy Museum are in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah, I've been to that one when you first opened it up.
National Memorial for Peace and Justice. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that keeps track of all the lynchings. What they do is they go out and get jars of land where the lynching took place.
Right.
Like if the lynching took place in Fulton County, they look at the newspaper recordings and other way, you know, because they'll say a black man was lynched, you know, and you know, he raped a white woman, all kind of lies or whatever, you know, and like, you know, say in Fulton County, so in Fulton County, a man was lynched and they had a picnic there where he was, so they would go out there and get them jars and put dirt in the jar, bring it back to the museum.
And, yeah, I've seen that. You know, yeah, I've seen that. I've been there.
Name on it. And I saw a video where Brian is talking about that, and he looks up and he points. He said, right, you see this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? He said, that's a whole family that was lynched. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a mother, a father, and 3 children. Whole
so it's the whole jar, the dirt, 5 jars of dirt from each one of them.
That's that National Memorial for Peace and Justice. they call that the Lynching Museum. And here it's beautiful. It's, you know, he used his own money. He calls it the Equal Justice Initiative because he was a lawyer getting a lot of brothers off death row. And you know, that's how he got his name. That's how he got his reputation for getting brothers off out of the penitentiary who had been on death row for many years. And then he kept it up, and people started helping him, donating their stuff. Then he opened up these museums. So if you get a, let's see, Asamlek, are you there?
I'm here, but you weren't hearing me because I was saying something. Do you hear me now?
Okay, let me turn my radio back off. Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum.
I'm hearing you good. Alaikum salam. I'm hearing you good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, baby. So do your favor and look up Brian Stevens. You're educating
okay.
yourself. He's an attorney, a good brother, and dedicated, you know. Okay, you got somebody else in the queue that might want to say something?
Would somebody else in the queue would like to say anything or contribute towards this Brian Stevenson and his Montgomery Museum? Just press one on your receiver. On your phone receiver, you'll be brought into the queue. Your mic will be open. Press 1 on your receiver. Your mic will be open. You'll be brought into the queue. And speak what you have to say. I was saying, though, that I've been there. I went there when it first opened up. We had a bus or two going there from here in Atlanta. And we did see exactly what you said, the big jars of dirt. That was supposed to have been straight from beneath the person that was hanging, that they had hung, and the state that it was in. Yeah, that's very true. And they also have history there up under each one of them. And they also have, they have different areas of it. They have a little filming and a little talking and explanations, you know, of the different ones that were hung and different things that happened during that time, yeah, in Montgomery. A lot of education in that museum. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All praise be to Allah. Okay, so you've been there. Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about next time I get some money, I jump on a plane and go spend a day or two in Montgomery. Look at the museum.
Yeah, it's a lot to see. It will take a day or two. It's a lot to see.
Oh, is that right? Like what? What are you saying?
Yes, they have the whole families. The families that had been lynched, that were chained, you know, and shackles and all in a circle in one area. And then you have different, I would say it's like a tombstone area where you would go into one area, another area of the museum on the same grounds, and there'll be names and, you know, of people and little history of them on these, like, tall things, tombstones, like. There's a lot of history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was kind of, I mean, on the for real side, I was kind of disappointed that I sent out a lot of invitations to the reparations radio, and hardly nobody was showing up, you know?
Yeah, because they don't know, because they're not really aware yet, brother, I mean. They're not really aware yet. They're not really even focused on that right now. Because it's so early, but yet late. But, you know, like you said, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for the people for to even be on their minds as serious as it should be.
you know, even though they have different write-ups in the paper about it in different areas, they have a special paper with history on it saying how much each African-American is expected to get.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it has that. I was just reading over that, and I didn't write that down. I'm going to next time, if maybe tomorrow, if I can write this down so you'll know that. And that's supposed to be the latest, the special paper.
So the latest what?
Latest newspaper. A latest paper.
Oh, you mean...
newspaper.
The Muslim Journal?
No, it's not. It's not a Muslim journal. It's like a Star Ledger, or like a Star Ledger that was in New Jersey. It's like a Atlanta journal. They call it. So the newspaper in Atlanta is like that. It's like a total newspaper where you have all kinds of things in the newspaper. But this is like a special journal, special article, special paper for that. And I'm get the name of it and let you know exactly how much they had said in this latest paper of what was expected to be given to each African American in a certain locale.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know, the main thing that I was, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's something that we got to keep on teaching on and spread the word to our communities. Even though, like I said, I never heard Imam Muhammad talk about reparations. He just said, if someone would just want to cut me a check, you know, and say paid in full, Imam said, no, you know, you can never pay me enough for, you know, Allah would have to deal with you. You know what I mean? That's what Imam said.
Yeah.
But he didn't say, he didn't say he wasn't with reparations. And we do know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let me find this statement by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Okay.
Yeah, let me find this statement. I saved it on my phone. Let's see. Oh, here it is, right here. All right. Real, very. See. Okay, yes. He says this is what the Muslims want. The Muslim, he says, a Muslim program. He starts off number one. He says we want freedom. We want full and complete freedom. Number two, we want justice, equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed, class, or color. Number three, we want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society, best in civilized society. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad starts off, we want freedom. Two, we want justice. Three, we want equality. And then he says, and then he gets into it. He says, we want our people in America whose parents or grandparents or descendants from slaves be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on the continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and to supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. That ain't reparations. Mm-hmm. I don't know what is reparations.
He wanted reparations.
Now, yep. I've heard the imam qualify that and said, well, my father, he knew that he couldn't get a separate territory because the United States fought a civil war behind people who wanted a separate territory. And they wanted to be, you know, but you have to agree that Honorable Elijah Muhammad's spirit, his spirit was in reparations. He knew under the divine concept of justice that the slave master is obligated to do such things. And that's reparations. You know, under the concept of justice.
Mm-hmm.
You know. That's Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I hate to be so flip-flopping and wishy-washy, but I'm going to continue with my show at 6, even though people may not, like you say, they may not show up yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
You know, it's a lot of justice history that we need to discuss as a people. We need to know our history.
Right.
Brian Stevenson says, I tell this story over and over. Brian Stevenson was saying that it was a certain Confederate event, Confederate Southerner, you know what I mean? And they had, you know, the Confederate flags, and they were talking about the flag, they were talking about the history, they were talking about the wars. It was talking about the General Lee, Jefferson Davis, and all that. They were talking all that. And Brian Stevenson said they didn't even mention the word. They didn't even mention the word slave. They didn't even mention the word enslaved. They didn't even mention the word slavery. That's what they... Some of those racists, think about reparations for us. They don't even mention it. So we have to admit it. We can't continue doing what they're doing. They're completely ignoring all that 200 years of history. But they're completely in what they call La La Land. But we can't. We can't do what they're doing. You know, we have to know our own history and talk about our history. And don't let people make us shame for talking about it. Some people say, oh, that happened so long ago. You know, wow, you gotta stop talking about that. That happened so long ago. This is a new time. You know, people make you feel ashamed.
Right.
You know, that,
right.
You know, but Professor William Darity, he says, yeah, but look at the wealth gap. Look at the black-white wealth gap. All those things that have been done to us as a people is reflected in the black-white wealth gap. What do you mean? The Caucasian, his wealth is 10 times
yep.
more than the average family. The average Caucasian family has 10 times more wealth than the average African-American family. So all them lynchings, all them atrocities, all that terror, all these things, discrimination, have all accumulated in the wealth, the uneven wealth, what do you call it, all that, added all up, and the Caucasian has 10 times, the average family has 10 times more wealth than us. You see what I mean? And that's where, reparations come in. That's where reparations come in. Because you got a whole lot of people who don't have no wealth. Well, you got to make them, you got to make them balance out. And that's where them trillions of dollars are for. Them trillions of dollars that Darity talks about. Yeah. He calculated it. Trillions of dollars. That's what we're owed. Yeah, Darity said that's what they owe us. Trillions of dollars.
Yep. And you know, too, that, it's also mentioned here, and I just, here it is. It's something about individual payments for descendants of enslaved black Americans. And it says the U.S. government owes lost wages as well as damages to the people it helped enslave. In addition to the lost wages, the accumulated amount of restitution for individuals should eliminate the racial wealth gap that currently exists. According to the Federal Reserve, most recent numbers in 2016, based on the survey of consumer finances, white families had the highest medium In 2016, based on the survey of consumer finances, white families had the highest medium family wealth of $171,000 compared to black and Hispanic families, which had $17,600 and $20,700, respectively. Mm-hmm. It went on to talk about the tuition for the 4-year or 2-year college and university for descendants of enslaved black Americans, you know, compared to those of white Americans. And student loan forgiveness, it went through this whole thing. The student loan forgiveness for descendants of enslaved black Americans, because right now they have to own a program, because I'm on that program for the college tuition, you know, and monies that I owe to the colleges for loans, you know, for me to get my degree. But it's nothing compared to what the Caucasians owe. You know, it said blacks also have nearly $45,000 of student loan debt compared to about $30,000 for white. And the recent research finds that blacks are more likely to be allocated anyway, I'm going to compile this, and next time we come on and talk about it, then maybe I can bring it up and we can talk about it, because it just jumped on me where I'm scrolling from.
What year was that Federal Reserve study? What year was that?
Federal Reserve study. I didn't mention Federal Reserve study.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
The information about the wealth gap and how much the $176,000, all that come from the, you said the IRS.
Oh. Signed to the physical bodies of enslaved black men. And in 1860, over $3 billion was the value assigned to the physical bodies of enslaved black Americans to be used as free labor and production. And this was more money than was invested in factories and railroads combined. And in 1861, the value placed on cotton produced by enslaved blacks was $250 million. And slavery enriched white slave owners and their descendants, and it fueled the country's economy while suppressing wealth building for the enslaved. And it says the United States has yet to compensate descendants of enslaved black Americans for their labor, nor has the federal government atoned for the lost equity from anti-black housing, transportation, and business policies. Then he went on to talk about slavery, Jim Crow segregation, anti-black practices, and defined as assets minus debt afforded to their white peers. And this economist, William Sandy, Doherty, and Derek Hamilton point out in their 2018 report. Okay. Okay, the names Sandy Doherty and Derek Hamilton pointed out in their 2018 report what we got wrong about closing the wealth gap. Blacks cannot close the racial wealth gap by changing their individual behavior. In other words, by assuming more personal responsibility or acquiring the portfolio management insights associated with financial literacy. In fact, white high school dropouts have more wealth than black college graduates. And moreover, the racial wealth gap did not result from a lack of labor. Rather, it came from a lack of financial capital.
Yeah, Derek Hamilton is a partner of Professor William Doherty.
Okay. And they're talking about the wake of economic disasters like the 2008 housing crisis and natural ones like Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Those who can draw up on the equity in a home, savings, and securities are able to recover faster after economic downturns than those without wealth. The lack of social safety net and the racial wealth divide are currently on display amid the COVID-19 crisis. And it talks about disparities in access of to wealth care along with inequities in economic policies combined to make black people more vulnerable to negative consequences than white individuals, even with the COVID. And so there's a man-made disease to eliminate Caucasians. Okay. Then it talks about Native Americans. It says history of preparation in the United States, preparation, a system of redress. Okay. Restoration, a system of redress for egregious injustice. I gotta get this word right. Egregious. Egregious. Injustice are not foreign to the United States. Native Americans have received land and billions of dollars for various benefits and programs for being forcibly exiled from their native land. For Japanese Americans, $1.5 billion was paid to those who were interned during World War II. And additionally, the United States, via the Marshall Plan, helped to ensure that Jews received reparations for the Holocaust, including making various investments over time in 1952. And West Germany agreed to pay $3.45 billion, whatever they call their money, which is marked to Holocaust survivors. $3.45
billion.
Yes. Billion.
Okay. Yeah, well.
And they pronounce their money as D-U-T.
The number I get,
Huh?
Right.
Now, that was in 1952.
Right. Deutsche Marks.
Deutsche, okay, Deutsche Marks.
Right.
Okay. Now, that was in 1952, was Germany agreed to pay that.
But in total, Germany has paid out, one number I get, $90 billion since 1951. $90 billion. Let me see if I could. Let's see if I could play something right quick.
Okay.
If I could play something. Can you hear?
I can hear you. Yes, I hear you good.
Oh, this is John Conyers. John Conyers.
Are you playing something? We're not hearing it.
Yeah, I'm playing something.
We were not hearing anything. Sound like traffic.
Is that right? You're not hearing? You're not hearing?
We're not hearing anything, but it sounds like traffic going by.
Oh, okay. Let's see. This is about closing. Okay. How about that? Can you hear a little better?
No, you can't hear anything.
Oh, okay then.
You can't hear anything.
Okay. Okay, I pulled it up. I pulled up a congressional hearing with John Conyers and Claude Anderson. And I wanted to, hear it. I didn't know it didn't play. It couldn't play. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to hear that. Let me see. Anybody else out there? Anybody else want to say something?
Like the kingdom. Well, what? Disconnected. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Yeah, here it is. Okay.
Let's see. Does it, everybody here out there on the show?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Do you hear? You hear Brother Muhammad? Brother Muhammad in New York. Do you hear us? Brother Sujar, do you hear us? I have all the mics open now. Everybody's mic is open. Is anybody here besides myself and Brother Imeen? I wonder why they're not hearing. Could everybody unmute your phone, please? And raise your hand if you have something to say. Could everybody unmute their phones, please?
Everybody's mic is open. Nobody is on mute as far as on the machine here. I don't know. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's saying anything. Is this nobody?
Kaya, is my mic on? Can you hear me?
Your mic is on. Everybody's mic is on. Everybody's mic is on.
Okay.
Nobody's hands up. But they're acting like everything is mute, like because nobody's saying anything. Even when I speak to them, I ask them if they hear us. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people beside ourselves.
Yeah, let me see if I can take a look.
Okay. Everybody's mic is open.
Okay, there's a bunch of people. All right, everybody's mic is open.
Yep.
Brother Sujar, can you press one on your phone? Can you press one on your phone? Let us know that you hear. Brother Sujar, can you press one on your phone? Okay, Muhammad Sharif, can you press one on your phone?
Can you unmute your phones?
Well, I want to see if they press one on your phone to see if they can hear us.
Okay.
Sister Karan, can you hear us? Assalamu alaikum, Sister Karan. Okay, well, we're not answering back.
I got
two phones open in the same room. Okay, I don't see his hand. I don't see Brother Sujar's hand, but I did hear him say, "Assalamu alaikum."
Yeah, because I was doing something. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Oh, okay.
But I heard y'all talking.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, now, Brother, I mean, you're on the...
Yeah.
Okay, you're back now. Right here.
What name is my
Aslam Nickel. Oh, yeah, bro, I mean so wishy washy and flip floppy. But I had to read, you know, I could read people that statement by Honorable Elijah Muhammad and they still don't, these Muslims, they still ain't convinced. So I guess that, you know, that statement by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, proof enough. That's proof enough showing that we're on the right track.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was looking for my book on the Imam. As the light shining out of the week, I mean out of the east,
mm-hmm.
to the west. Yes, I was looking for that book and I couldn't find it. And I know the Imam is talking about. He got plenty of places that he's talking about reparation. Imam taught on that.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, you're talking about Imam W.D. Muhammad?
I was just looking for it, that's all.
Are you talking about Imam W.D. Muhammad, or are you talking about Minister Elijah Muhammad? I mean, wow.
Well, I know about the Imam Elijah Muhammad.
Does he have it in as a lifetime from the...
He talks on it, but I was trying to get the information for the imam said. You know, that's what I was looking for.
And what book are you looking in?
As light shining out of the east.
From the east.
Even into the west. And Alhamdulillah. Yeah, the imam he taught on that a whole lot of times. You know, it's just that we have to look it up and find it.
Do you know the page that he taught on that? You know the page?
I'm gonna look for it out of that book. I'm gonna go back in the index.
Oh, I see.
I'm gonna go back in the index and find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But teaching itself, you know, was about us being treated fair. You know, his whole teaching was about reparation.
Did you hear me talk about Darity, Sandy Darity? And Brian Stevenson a little while ago?
Yeah. I heard all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. While I was looking for that book, I heard you talking.
Yeah, man. I'm sorry for being so wishy-washy, man. Sometimes it's hard for me to take criticism, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, you know, he's stoned in against reparations, you know?
Yeah.
And that brother came on the front line. What's that brother's name? Came on the lifeline. I don't want no
Glenn.
I want 500. Glenn.
Yeah, but see, these brothers, they know better than that. They know better than that. That talking about the Quran is reparation and all that, you know, they know that we got work to do. We ain't going to get nothing without no work. We ain't going to get nothing without no work. Not anything. And we have our share to do so as Muslims. We got our share to do the work, like William Darity and Claude Aronson and all the rest of them. We have our responsibility as Muslims to do the research and do the work.
That's right.
We're not waiting on Allah. Allah already. Then told us that we have a share. You know, we not waiting on a lot. I mean, who we waiting on when we go up there and buy debt and gross it and pay taxes? Who we waiting on? It don't make no sense. Whoever told that in the thing, they did it intentionally.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's not going to hold me up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. These are some of the tricks that is played by Shaitan and try to send you on a guilt trip. That's another trick that they play. They try to send you on a guilt trip. You know.
Did brother, could I say something? Did Brother Muhammad speak against reparations, or was he in favor of having it a separate entity or a separate program from the blog?
Brother Muhammad talked totally against reparations. Brother Muhammad talked totally against reparations.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah, he.
Julian talked totally against reparations. Now, it ain't no beating around the bush. Ain't no nitpicking. They talk totally against it.
Oh, okay. I hear what you're saying. But I'm saying I didn't hear it. That's all. It doesn't mean he didn't say it. It didn't mean he didn't speak against it. It meant that just what I said. Well, I didn't hear it. I heard him emphasize that maybe we should have a special show just talking about reparation and not including it as a part of the show as the message of concern. That's what I heard. You know. But okay.
I ain't gonna be nitpicking.
That's the time that I didn't hear it. It's one of the things that I did hear. That's all.
Yeah. So I've two times, me and Brother Amin had to convince show proof why we deserve reparation with him. And that was on the blog talk. It was on the sister show. Matter of fact, it was on the sister show.
Yeah, it sure was. That's why I said, I know, I remember that. But like I said, the understanding that I got from him and heard was that he had requested that we have a special show for the reparation. And let the blog talk regular show based on concern be entity and like it is, and then get an extra show just specifying and talking about reparation. Now, that's what I heard, and that's what I understand. I'm not saying it wasn't said, or somebody else could have understood it a different way, but that's the way I understood it.
Wait, what? You got a cobbler?
Huh?
What's that
about?
Yeah.
My husband said that's the way he understood it, too. We had talked
Who
about
said
it.
That?
Yeah. My husband said that's what he had understood. My husband said that's what he understood, too.
What? You understood what?
What I just said. Brother Muhammad said that we should get a special show for reparation and not include it into the show on the, and not include it on the show with the message of concern.
Muhammad said that we shouldn't be begging for the crumbs.
I'm not saying what he said specific like that. I'm talking about I understood he wanted two separate shows.
He said that if that's what we're trying to get, that we're trying to beg the Caucasian, the American government, for crumbs.
Suja, you're misunderstanding me. Now, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying what I understood and what I heard him say. But he was on the sister's show.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you what I heard.
I'm not wrong for what you said. I'm not saying you're wrong for what you said.
I'm just trying to tell you what I heard him say.
Okay. Well, that's your understanding what you heard him say then. It's something to be rebuttal about or confused or disagree with. Your understanding is your understanding. My understanding is my understanding. And we have that that privilege, you know.
Not Brother Shuri, Brother Muhammad. That wasn't Brother Shuri.
No, that was Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia.
But I mean, what he got a show for the brother? That's what he did, but he said he didn't have much participation.
But he got any right to speak what he wants to speak.
Wait a minute, Sue John. I think you're mixing this up.
I think Brother Muhammad, I think Brother Muhammad has his right to. I mean, it's good for him to bring us that type of challenge. If that type of challenge is going to throw us into, going to lock us up, then what if the people on the outside bring us that challenge?
I wouldn't have that challenge.
For
just want to argue about the people. We're trying to get them over to the people. And it's
okay. I don't mind.
We need to be very civil to each other and talk to each other. But we need to talk nice to each other. You know what I mean?
We should make an argument out of everything.
I hope I'm not talking to you.
Okay. Muhammad is very opinionated. You know, he got his opinion on stuff, and he gets right. He's very forceful about stuff, but. Yeah, one of the things that he brought up he brought up that, you know, reparations is not in scripture. He says if you look at the Hebrews and Moses, you know, the Hebrews never got reparations, you know. Right, he brought that up.
Right.
Which was
right.
That would make me study more, you know,
No, that's what he said.
I know it, because they brought all the slaves over here. They're the ones that...
So what it does is it makes you equip yourself more, you know. When I'm talking to my brother and he brings out things like that, I'm definitely going to go and do my research and be more equipped.
We aren't the only ones thinking like that.
You know. Yeah, so it's not no confusion. You can make it look like it's confusion, but it ain't confusion. When a person asks me a question, it's in opposition to the truth, that give me an opportunity to elaborate with the truth, to come out more with the truth. So in essence, it helps. It helps because somebody else might want to ask that same question or make that same statement, but they're too afraid to step up. So I'm doing a lot. We got what make me happy is that I see all these young people. I see all these young people are coming out with studies that they done made and able to debate, you know. And they have this little program that comes on what do they call it? This program that they have, come on. task force. There was a task force study on reparation. Yeah, it comes on regular. A task force. And they got more than one task force. They got quite a few of them there in California, task forces. But they have them in other states also. And it comes on YouTube. It's amazing. The people coming out with things that you have in your mind or things that you haven't thought about. And they bringing it out. Yeah. So after a while, it ain't going to be no excuse. I think what's going to happen is that we're going at some point we're going to come together and stand up all together and let them know that this is the truth, this is the reality we got. We want our reparations. We won't have a revolution.
I understand what you're saying, Chief. I really do. I understand what you're saying. I understand all this about the reparation that we're talking about. But like Brother, and I'm not going to say anything after this. Like Brother Amin said, we have to learn how to talk to each other and respect each other's opinion, whether we agree with
That's
it or
right.
not. You know, everybody's
That's
opinion
right.
should be respected, whether we agree with it or not.
That's right.
And it shouldn't have to be anything that would seem like it's a negative or anything to be argued about. Or debated about.
That's right.
He said what he said.
And I don't.
He said what
I try
he
not
said.
To argue. If I argue, I'm going to use you.
Yeah, we have to be careful sometimes.
But when a person
is
trying to switch
something
up on me,
each other.
When a person is trying to switch something up on me, I'm looking at it. I see it. It's not hidden. It's clear. And when they do that, it's a testimony against them. It ain't against me. Well, that's weak. That's gotta be something weak, You gotta come with something stronger than that. So alhamdulillah, I think that we should tighten up. We shouldn't lighten up at all. We should tighten up. You know, and do more research and more study and come out more, harder. You see? And then we gotta let each other know when somebody brings them out that bothers them. If you bring them out and it's got me thinking and it bothers me, you know, I'm gonna bring it out so I can all of us can elaborate on it. All of us can talk on it. You know, I'll give their opinion on it. Praise be to Allah. But ain't nobody, see, you can't, if try to be slick too, I can handle that too. And all of it. You know.
Reparation.
We're talking about reparation and all that is in it.
Oh, okay.
All that goes in it. It's just like making a gumbo.
Always sometimes find out how
to
make it work.
That's just
have
that
plan.
Alhamdulillah. And you got more people. I found out you got more people we're interested in it now. Since we've been talking about this, I mean that's all I see is reparation. Since we've been talking about this.
Yep, that's right. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you clear.
Yeah. We got to keep on inviting people.
Exactly, brother. You know, and we're gonna get somebody that's gonna be hot. We're gonna get somebody here gonna be smoking. And I'm praying that we get some young person, you know, to come on the Blog Talk, you know, that really know how to articulate, you know. I think that's what we're searching for, you know, and I'm gonna support that person. I'm not gonna try to find out something that he made or something like that. If he made one, I'm going to try to cover it up real quick and tell him to keep going. Shaitan don't want us to get no kind of money where we can establish ourselves in this society. Satan don't want that. And just understanding that is going to make me fight until I die. I'm going to fight. And I don't have to come together tomorrow. I ain't got to show nobody nothing. I ain't got to show nobody nothing. Who do I have to show something to? The only thing I have to do is keep standing up on truth. Keep coming up with what is right. But I don't have to prove. I never would be that weak. For a person can knock me off with guilt. And he'll knock me off like that. Not Shuja. That's when I picked that name I got. I remember the imam told me, when I told the imam my name, Shuja, the imam said, that's a good name. And he said it three times. That's a good name. That's a good name. What Shuja mean? Bold, strong, brave, fear God only. Every time I talk to a Middle Eastern brother and I tell him my name is Shuja, Shuja, do you know what that means? You know what that means? I said, no, what do it mean?
Hey, brother, I mean,
yeah.
Are we done now talking about reparation? I want
yes.
to find out the sisters.
She was asking a question.
One second, Karan, please. I'm talking to Brother Amin about something. Okay, one second, please. You may have a question. Brother Amin, I wanted to ask you, if the reparation conversation is finished, other than whatever the question is that Sister Karan has asked, if it's pertaining to reparation, I wanted to know, can we get back now to the sisters program, since we have, about 45 minutes, and if we can get the sister to read something from education as far as the children or whatever, or something pertaining to the children. If we're
yeah,
finished.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, absolutely. It's your show. No problem. Absolutely.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Sister Karan.
Alhamdulillah. I just want to ask them, so what is the step that we need to start
registering for respiration. Well, what's the next step that we need to do? Like, we enter, so what do we do?
In Louisiana, look up Google and look up who are the reparations people in Baton Rouge. There should be two or three organizations. Let's start right there, and let's contact them, see if they got a website, and let's talk about seeing who's in charge, what they've done, you know, their phone numbers, right in Baton Rouge. Let's find out.
Yes, that's because you all know they might, they operate different. They might just start dealing with you with business, you know. They operate different down here. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Okay. Is Sister Sharifa on? Would she like to read something as far as educational support for the children? You know, this COVID is coming back. It's got a new strand now. They've already got what they say, I think 25% of people have been hospitalized already. We're supposed to go in bloom come the winter months. Sister Sharifa, back on. It doesn't seem like she's back on. Okay. Does anybody else have any input about the new strain of COVID that's out and about the hospitalizations of the children, as they said in schools? We know that in the schools it's coming, they're going back into full bloom, like they're not believing that this strain is coming out, even though it's in the papers, it's on the news and everything, you know. But they're still saying that the children now have to go back into the schools, just like it was before the COVID. And so much to the extent where they're worrying about the children having to be so much to the extent now they're worrying about the children having their meals, because it was on one of the shows that I attend, or first things I listen to is LinkedIn, and they were talking, when the teachers was talking about, she had gone one day to the cafeteria because she got it mixed up, and they were supposed to have a dinner, and for a special dinner for some occasion, and she found out that half of the children were not eating. Well, she heard a conversation, rather, and the child didn't seem to be on the free lunch list of signing papers and stuff like that for the child to get free lunch. So the child didn't eat because the lady behind the counter even asked the child, do you have a dime or a nickel or anything? Because they would have to give something toward it. You know, they can't just eat free. So the little boy didn't have any money. She said, I know you're not going to make me take all this food back that I just put on your tray. So the teacher spoke up and said, no, they charged it to me. I will pay for it. So she said, well, if you pay for it, you have to pay more for it. She said, it doesn't matter. Just I'll pay for it. You know, I will pay for his meal. So, and she said, put it on her account. And that's what they did. But, and it's a shame, she said, the amount of number of children who go to school without having eaten breakfast before they left to go to school. And how is it possible for the children to learn anything on an empty stomach when they go to school? And then the virus, too, coming out, making their little resistance low and all this sort of thing. So we have to try to do something about that. And she said, and you can just imagine how many more children go to school and haven't had any breakfast to eat, you know, and expected to do their best in their studies. So I had come up with a solution right away because they said, what can we do? I said, no, we could do, get busy and go do some, visit some of these schools in our area
because we have one down the street here from us, not far, and it'll only take a couple of hours to speak with the principal to find out how many children are on free lunch, how many children qualify for free lunch, because they do have to fill out a form, an application sort of, kind of, and if they can find that out, then we'll know how many children whose family cannot afford to buy their lunches, and they need to be on that list of free lunches. So maybe the parent haven't filled out the papers or form or something like that. They shouldn't, this neglect of the children, and we know a lot of that exists, children are being neglected. And this was what did she say? It was a child was in the lower grade, first or second grade, something like that. It wasn't even upper grade level. But anyway, so she said that she would do that. So I said, we could go to one of the schools in our own area and find out how many children, too, that qualified but didn't don't get their free lunch in the morning, the breakfast. And then lunch, too, is when you say free. It's for lunch and breakfast and lunch. And so we don't know how many that go to school in the morning without having had anything to eat before they went to school. Okay, so if they have to do an application for the parent, or ask the parent to come in, or call the parent and find out the situation. You know, I remember when we was teaching this, I was teaching this Claire Muhammad in New Jersey, we used to call parents and find out conditions, you know, for children to be able to have lunch, because they would take out for lunch. It's right across the street from us, from the school there, South Orange Avenue in New Jersey. And there was a Shabazz restaurant across there. And they could run up, you know, the bill and pay about a week or about a month or whatever so their child could eat lunch and eat breakfast in school. So they have their ways of finding out what child or family cannot afford to pay for their children's school, to eat in school, to pay for their child to eat in school. They have ways of finding that out. And I think we should, as a part of a community, we can take it upon ourselves as a part of, you know, to help contribute toward that. And that's something that's simple, you know, so easy. So that's one of the things. And then, you know, the immune system is very important for this COVID or any other kind of sickness or illness that we have. You got to keep the immune system up to fight off a lot of a lot of these diseases and complications, medical complications that the children may come up with, slow learning ability, or just haven't had enough sleep, and they're not alert to be able to learn. So all of that is in with the children, and that's a part of our duty as well. So along with that, I was going to try and pull that up. I think I did take a snapshot of that about COVID, this new one. And see what they say about it. Okay. Yeah, we have it here. Another says showing results for the new COVID strain. Search and state for new COVID strain, and that's what I searched for. That's what I pulled up. And the news is that in the Yale University of Medicine, and if you want to look it up, it's the www.yalemedicine.org, O-R-G. And it says .com, I guess it is too, .org and outside .com. What to know about E kappa G 0.5, and is known as the ARIS, capital ERIS, which is the latest the latest, I need to eat myself, I fasted. unplanned today. Haven't had anything to drink or eat. But anyway, so after the show, after the program. Okay. What to know about capital E, capital J, point five, which is called the capital E-R-I-S, the Eris, the latest coronavirus strand. It says August 18, 2023, a descendant of Omicron, Eris, is already the dominant coronavirus subvariant in the country, infecting in the country. Okay. It says new COVID variant BA.2.86 spreading in the U.S. in August 2023. And here are, one day ago, health authorities and scientists say they are now racing to study BA.2.86, a new strain of the virus that causes COVID-19 after the highly the new COVID variant BA.2.86 spreading in the U.S. in August 2023. Here are the key facts experts want you to know. It says updated on August 28th, 2023 at 5:16 p.m., not long ago. Okay, well, 27th was Sunday, 28th was Monday. Okay, that was yesterday, 28th, because today's 29th. Okay, it said health authorities and scientists say they are now racing to study capital B, capital A, point, a new strain of the virus that causes COVID-19 after the highly mutated variant was spotted spreading in multiple countries around the world and at least three different United States. Three countries in the United States, I guess that's what it means, around the world, and at least three different states in the United States. Okay, for now, officials say they remain well-equipped to deal with the strand if it continues to spread. Early assessments suggest current treatments and tests, as well as upcoming vaccines. And that's a bad point. Upcoming vaccines to be rolled out next month will not be rendered useless by BA.2.86. Yeah, I'm just not up to with that, with giving the children no vaccines. I'm just not. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, you know, whether you agree with it or not, which is always said, everybody's opinion should be respected whether you agree with it or not. I don't agree with them giving the babies and the children no injections for this, because it's been known and proven that many children, even after, and adults, even after having the shot, they still die. So I don't know if it's the part where you don't get it in time or far ahead of time and wait till the last minute to get the shot, or if it's just not any good, period. You know, I just don't believe in shots. Okay, that's my opinion. Okay. It says, but a number of questions remain about the variant nicknamed Pirola, P-I-R-O-L-A, P-I-R-O-L-A, Pirola, on social media. That's the nickname for this virus, okay? Whose mutations could amount to an evolutionary jump on par with the emergence of the Omicron variant in 2021. Oh, click here to view related medias. I don't feel like clicking. Okay, but here's the latest on what we know about the strand. Is there a new COVID variant? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and World Health Organization say they have been closely tracking the emergence of a new highly mutated COVID-19 variant that scientists have labeled BA, capital B, capital A, 0.2.86. The new variant first raised concerns earlier this month after variant trackers noticed a handful of new sequences showing up in global virus databases with a large number of genetic changes different from circulating strands. When compared to the capital X, capital B, 1.5 variant, which drove a wave earlier this year and was picked out to be targeted by the upcoming fall booster shots. Capital B, capital A, 0.2.86 has 36 mutations. My God. Sequences of early Omicron variants in 2021 also had a similar number of mutations when compared relative to the original strain of the virus. Okay. BA, capital B, capital A, 0.2.86 mutations include changes at key parts of the virus that could help the variant dodge the body's immune defenses from prior infections or vaccinations. Authorities still consider BA, capital A, 0.2.86 technically a part of the Omicron variant family, though the WHO told reporters, the capital W, capital H, capital O, told reporters that this could change if the strand spreads more widely. We would use a Greek letter that we have a variant of concern, and we won't hesitate to use those Greek letters should they be needed. Maria Van Kerkhove, who WHO's COVID-19 technical lead, August 25th. More could be known soon about the impacts of the strand from experiments done by scientists testing the strand's mutations against antibodies for the virus. I see you coming out of there with a club plates. More could be known soon about the impacts of the strand from experiments done by scientists testing the strand's mutations against antibodies for the virus. Among them is Peking University Professor Yong Long, CAO, Kao, whose rapid assessments of variant abilities to dodge antibodies have played a key role in helping global authorities judge the threats posed by past strands. Kyle told CBS News on August 24th, that was what, around Friday, this past Friday or Thursday, Wednesday, last week. Okay, he expected to have some data on BA2.86 by early next week. What has the new COVID variant BA2.2.86 been detected? At least 13 infections have been reported to the Global Virus Database, capital G, all these capital letters, G-I-S-A-I-D, G-I-S-A-I-D, as of August 28th. Now, that was yesterday. 4 are in Denmark, 3 are in U.S., 2 are in South Africa, 2 are in Portugal, and is in Israel. 1 is in Israel, and another is in the United Kingdom. That's England, the UK, England. No deaths have been imported or reported, according to August 24, WHO report, capital W, capital H, capital O report. None of the initial cases had epidemiological link with each other. An official for the UN agency said August 25th or had compromised immune systems. Experts have speculated that a previous highly mutated variant arose in immunocompromised patients battling lingering infections. Oh, my goodness. So you got to take care of your immune system, keep it built up, take plenty of vitamin C's. As a matter of fact, get you some lemon, cut it up,
and boil it, and it take inhales, big deep inhalations to breathe that in to go through your system. It's citrus to help to alleviate some of that bacterial growth. Okay? And it says at least 13 infections have been reported. Okay. I told you that. None of the initial cases had been known epidemiological link with each other. An official for the UN, the United Nations Agency, said August 25th, or had compromised immune systems. Experts have speculated that previously highly mutated variants arose in immunocompromised patients battling lingering infections. The first reported U.S. case was reported from a sample collected on August 3rd, according to metadata reported to GISAID by a lab at the University of Michigan. A spokesperson for Michigan's Health Department said that sample was collected from an adult who lived in the States, Washtenaw County. The second U.S. case of BA.2.86 was reported to GISAID from a sample collected on August 10th at Dulles International Airport in Virginia. Oh, my God. Dulles International Airport in Virginia. Contractors for CDC's airport testing program had detected the case in a woman who had traveled from Japan to the Washington, D.C. area airport from Japan. This stuff always comes from over there, China and all those places. A third U.S. case of BA.2.86 has been confirmed in Ohio. A spokesperson for the state's health department told CBS News, records reported to GISAID show the sequence was from a sample collected by the Cleveland Clinic on July 29th. From a 26-year-old patient in Ohio's, oh my goodness, Cuyahoga County, Ohio, had previously confirmed it was investigating a preliminary detection of BA.2.86 distinctive mutations wastewater sample with the CDC. Scientists in several other countries have also announced spotting at least preliminary signs of the strand in their sewers, according to Soren Sion of the EU Sewage Sentinel System for SARS-CoV-2, including Denmark, Germany, Spain, Switzerland, and Thailand. Oh, my goodness, why are these people in these foreign countries? Mark Johnson, a professor of microbiology and immunology at the University of Missouri, said on social media, the Ohio detection was based on results published from the CDC's sewer testing program. Those were first released on August 17th from a sample collected in late July, my goodness, from the Ohio city of Elyria. A CDC official said the agency expects to be able to determine whether or not they can formally confirm the detection within 2 weeks. Do COVID tests pick up the new COVID variant, BA.2.86? Do the COVID tests pick up the new COVID variant, BA.2.86. That's the new one, the latest strand. Current COVID-19 tests are expected to still work for BA.2.86, early analysis suggests. Based upon available information at this time, the FDA believes that most existing, Okay.
Okay. This is also in the news. What to know about EG5, Aries, the latest coronavirus strain, 1 week ago. Okay. Just telling you about that one. What to know about the capital E, capital G.5, Aries, E-R-I-S, or Aries, the latest coronavirus strain. Okay, here it all is. We said all that. Okay. Anyway, we know also that this particular virus, it says so far the EG.5 isn't setting off any alarms as far as disease severity, although early reports show it may be more transmissible. It has surpassed the capital X, capital B, capital B, 0.1.16, or Arcturus, A-R-C, Arcturus, R-U-S, Arcturus. That's what the capital XBB .1.16 is, and the other name for those letters, the name for it is Arcturus, another highly contagious Omicron subvariant that was in the news just a few months ago. I'm not aware of data that suggests EG5 leads to worse cases of COVID-19 compared to prior variants, says Scott Roberts, MD, a Yale Medicine infectious disease specialist. But early reports have shown Yale Medicine. But early reports have shown EG.5 has been spreading faster than any other currently circulating strain. Oh, my God. Oh, Dr. Roberts answered questions about the summer uptick on COVID-19 cases and shared what we need to know about EG.5. How prevalent is EG.5, the latest coronavirus subvariant? According to Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, somebody's on here now. Maybe I better get off and see what they need. I'll stop reading this about the COVID virus, the new one, and we'll get to it next time. Okay, maybe tomorrow. The brother may have some on it, but it's a new one. We know that. Okay, if anyone has anything or any input, I just have to look up at the screen, and it's 10 minutes to 9. And I think I see a number here that they want to do some questions for us or say some prayers for us. Raise your hand. Push 1 on your phone receiver, and you'll be brought into the queue, and your mic will be open. But most of the mics are open. But just push 1 if you like to say something. I'll do this with this one. Oh, they're not going to close. Okay. We're going to stay on this then. The mics are open. Does anyone have anything to say? Just go on and speak what you want to say. All the mics are open. I don't think you have to even worry about pushing 1. I mean, on your receiver. I don't think you have to worry about pushing 1 on your receiver. Just go on and say what you, if you have something you want, some input. Go on and say it. Just bring it out. Because this, all of the mics are open. All of your mics are open.
I'm just getting on, but I did want to share something I'm looking for now. It's a hadith. Let's see. Looking at 51 short hadith. Every Muslim should know with explanation. Let me see, which one do I do? There's 51 of them, so I'm looking for one now. Okay, here's one for guarding the tongue.
Okay.
A slave of Allah may utter a word without giving it much thought, by which he slips into the fire a distance further than that between east and west. Qari and Muslims. Explanation. The tongue is a great blessing of Allah, and despite its small size, it could be the cause of a person's bliss or doom in the afterlife.
Mm. That's true.
Therefore, it is very important for a Muslim to safeguard his or her tongue from lying, backbiting, slandering, cursing, and a host of other sins that emanate from this single organ. In fact, some words are so dangerous that they can throw a person outside the fold of Islam. In this hadith is teaching us about the effects of words and their consequences. A person could utter a word or statement thinking nothing of it and may even consider it insignificant. However, in the sight of Allah, it may be highly detested, which causes a person to fall into the depths of the hellfire. The opposite could also occur. A person may utter a word or statement and not give it much attention. However, in the sight of Allah, it may be highly loved, which causes the person to be raised several levels in paradise. Okay, so to put you in hell or either paradise. From this wonderful hadith is that we must think before we speak. As
that's
the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directed us in another hadith, to either say something good or remain silent. Some of the scholars mentioned that before uttering a word, the person is its master, but as soon as it leaves the tongue, then the person becomes its prisoner. It is important to ponder over the consequences of one's word before speaking and harms that may cause the one to oneself and others. SubhanAllah. Before speaking and the harms they may cause to oneself and others. One of the 51 hadiths, I think, hadith 4. It's 51 of them. It's 51 of them, quite a few of them. But alhamdulillah, I was able to read that
This is Bukhari.
Yes. Bukhari Muslim, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Hadith number 4.
Thank you for that. The last one you read about the consequences, effects of, the last one you read was hadith number 4, you say?
Number 4, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, we appreciate that. We do appreciate that. We can always elevate ourselves with some good news or something, you know, to pertaining to. Now we can got to go to the Quran and see what that says about the same thing. The Quran got to back it up. But we know that Bukhari and Muslim are two of the authentic hadiths that we can study from.
Yes, ma'am.
One of the good hadith that we can study from, approved of hadith. Because most everything that's in those hadiths, we know that the Quran backed it up. That's why we can. And there's one other one I can't think of it. I can't think of the other one. Okay, Bukhari and Muslim. There's another one too, but I can't think of the other hadith. There's three of them all together. I sure appreciate that, Sister Lalani. So, Hajar Lalani, it's good to hear your voice.
Alhamdulillah, good to be heard. It's good to hear yours too.
Alhamdulillah. We're grateful. It may not seem like it, but we are. But we can't just hide ourselves and
as a recluse and stay in and not say anything when we have a chance to say something.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to have our freedom of speech. Everybody. Everybody.
Well, I pray that someone got something out of it.
I'm sure they did. Does anyone have anything to say? Does anyone else have anything else to say? We'll be going off soon. She just said 90 seconds. So, does anybody want to say anything? If you feel you want to read anything else, Sister Haja Lala? We'll
yes, ma'am. I have. Yes, I have this to share with you all. 7 side effects of soda. Phosphoric acid, weakness, bones, and rotten teeth. Excessive artificial sweetener makes you crave more. Caramel color made from the chemical caramel is purely cosmetic. It doesn't add flavor, yet it's tainted with C-A-R-C-H-O-G-E-N-S. Okay, and then the next one is formicide. Let me open this up. Carcinogen. It's not added in soda, but when you digest a partain, it will break down into amino acids and methanol formic acid. Diet soda, formic acid. And then another one is high fructose corn syrup is a concentrated form of sugar. Fructose derived from corn increases body fat, cholesterol, and triglycerin, and it also makes you hungry. Potassium benzoate, preservatives that can be broken down to benzene in your body. Keep your soda in the sun and benzene equal carcinogen and food dye impaired brain function. Food dye impairs brain function, hyperactive behavior, difficult focusing, and lack of impulse control. Those are the 7 things that soda would do to you. Yeah, I don't drink them.
You don't drink them? Well, I have I have to get me something and try to figure out what to do because I can't take, I don't take Tums and I don't take a lot of other stuff they got for indigestion, acid indigestion, and flatus, in other words, for gas that you may have on your stomach from eating certain things. And I do drink ginger ale. Yeah, I do drink the ginger ale. Because
yeah,
it helps me to belch
the
right
belch,
away.
That's right. That's all it's good for.
That's all it's good for. As a bicarbonate at bicarbonate S action
there. That's right. That's right. And as I was reading this here, I think about when you go to the restaurant, the first thing the waiter or waitress would ask you, "Would you like to have something to drink before you get your meal?" That makes you hungry.
Yeah. And that's something they get.
Yeah.
That's that trick of the trade, make you eat more.
Because it makes you hungry.
Make you hungry. Gives you plenty
of
room in there.
That's why I say,
food.
I ask for water. And if they don't have bottled water, I don't want their sink water. So I say, no, I'm all right.
Yeah, especially nowadays, I just finished reading here about this new strand of the COVID. That's coming.
Yeah.
The coronavirus is coming up, and it's found in the in different waters in the it proof was found in sewers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sewers have proof of the strain was found in that. You know, and then just think of the water that we're drinking to come out of the faucet. They used to have these things to strain water. No way you can freshly get that stuff out of the water. Comes about it.
Yeah.
So And we pray to bow waters, okay?
That's right, man. Well, we sure got plenty of it today. This rain came down so hard it knocked the lights out over here.
Well, it did us like that yesterday. Yeah, let me let you go. We got another program coming up now, okay? We got another program coming up. Okay, thank you. Let me get brother.